Thank you so much. Please be seated. Before I continue, there's just a little video clip that we would like to show you.
Sometimes I feel like my life has been built on this idea that I'm just being prepared for something else. Like this stage of my life is getting ready for my next stage of life. When you're 10, you're preparing to become 11 or 12. You can't wait to become a teenager. As a teenager, you can't wait to drive. You can't wait to graduate. When you're 21, you wish you were 25. Out of college, you're preparing for a better career. You want kids, a nice house, on and on and on and on. So when does life really start to count? Count. I heard a pastor say the other day that the disciples might have been teenagers or at least in their early 20s. That's interesting because these guys walked and talked and lived in community with Jesus. People my age. You know, I never read about them waiting around for a time to really start following Jesus. They just did. These guys left family and friends and jobs and stuff to live right then, for life to happen to them in the present. I feel like I always live life my way till Wednesday night at church or Sunday morning. But what about or camp or right now, some youth event? But what about right now? All I really want to do is God's will in my life, moment by moment. Moment by moment. I mean, if God said pack your stuff and go to Africa, I would do it. If he said go, I would go, but I'm just not sure. The truth is, life isn't just existing before you go to heaven. It's living before God now, moment by moment. I'm waiting and waiting for God's big plans for my life to begin. But maybe I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Maybe I'm being prepared right now for a higher calling. I want to live life now. I want my life to count. I'm ready. I want Christ to work through me now. I can't wait anymore. I won't wait anymore.
Have you ever felt that you're spending your life preparing for something, for some undefined future? Or that you know that God has a calling on your life, but you don't know exactly what that is, but you know that you are being prepared for it. But you know not exactly for when that is. You know you're being prepared for something, but you don't know when that is. If that is you this morning, I would like to ask you a question. When does your life start to count? When does it start to count? When does your life really start to have purpose in the kingdom of God? Is it one day when you're prepared? When does it count? When are you ready? Or are you still being prepared for something great for the one day that is still coming? Is it going to be in 5 years' time when you have graduated? Or maybe in 10 years' time when you have specialized? Or maybe when you're married and you have kids? Or maybe when your kids are grown up and they're out of the home? I mean, when is your life going to start to count for the kingdom of God? You know, I spend so many times speaking with so many people about their calling and their purpose, and this one day. When is your life going to start to count? I think you know the answer to this question. Maybe you've just never heard the question asked this way. Or maybe you have lost your expectation for today. You know, one of the amazing things about God is the fact that God existed before he created the universe. I mean, God existed, if you think about it, before the existence of time. Time is something that only came into being as God created. Before he created, there was no concept, there was no dimension of time, and God was before time. You know, God stands outside of time. The word says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, God sees time like a line, like a ruler before him. He's outside of it. He can see the beginning and he can see the end. And he's not confined by time. It's almost like looking at a carnival procession that starts from a high vantage point where you are standing and you're looking down, you're seeing how the carnival, the beginning is passing you by, and as the beginning is passing you by, you can also see the end of a procession. Now, God has a vantage point on time like that. He is not defined or confined by time. He is outside of time. As a matter of fact, God lives in the eternal present. He does not live in the past or in the future. He sees the beginning and the end before Him. And He lives in the eternal presence. My question this morning is, when does your life start to count for the kingdom of God? I think the answer is obvious. I think sometimes we have just lost our expectation for today, for the present. And sometimes we are longing and we're waiting for this one day when God is going to use me. And it's about that expectation that I want to share about this morning. You know, it's interesting that Christianity is defined by an active relationship with God. It's not defined by a commitment that was made 15 years ago, nor about a commitment that is still to be made. It is defined by a relationship today. Your relationship with God is defined about today. It's not defined about how it was 15 years ago or how it will be in 15 years from now. It is defined about your knowledge, your love, your longing, your expectation, your faith in God today. I really believe we know the answer to that question. Maybe we've just lost our expectation for today. Am I still waiting for the one day when my preparation is complete, when my issues are sorted, when my circumstances have changed, when I'm ready? Then my life will start to count. Then I will do what God has called me to, what God has expected of me, what God has imparted into me, what God has been longing for me. One day. You know, if you think about David, and I had to ask you, what was the most defining moment in his life? What was David's most defining moment in life? I think most of you would say it's when he killed Goliath. Very few of you would say it was the day when Samuel came and anointed him to be king, when his purpose was revealed. Very few of us would say that was the most defining moment of his life. And very few of us would say it was at his coronation when that purpose was fulfilled. No, actually, the most defining moment in David's life is that day, that very ordinary day, when he took bread and cheese to his brothers at the battlefront. It was just a normal day. Like any other day, David went to give some bread to his brothers and cheese to the officers. And while he was standing amongst the army facing the Philistines, this giant stepped forward, Goliath, and he started to taunt God and curse the people of God and blasphemy against God. And David was listening at this giant and looking at the army and listening at the giant and looking at the army, and he was seeing a discrepancy. He could see how somebody is blaspheming God, but he could see the fear of God's people. And David didn't say, hey, I'm too young. As a matter of fact, David was so young, he couldn't even be in the army. David didn't say, I'm too young to do this. David didn't say, well, you know, it's not my time yet. I mean, I'm not king yet. I mean, Saul is still the king. I mean, it's his job to do something about it. David didn't say, well, I'm not prepared yet. I've not been trained as a soldier. I do not know how to handle a sword or a spear. No, David had something in his heart. He had an expectation. He had an expectation about today. He sees the day, and he had an expectation that today God is going to vindicate his name. And he was not afraid. You know what? David ran. He ran to meet Goliath. because he had an expectation. You know, some would say, maybe we should read that, you know, in 1 Samuel 17. It's amazing. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and to the whole world, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands." And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. You know, David was confident because he had an expectation that God will vindicate his name. And he was not afraid. You know, some might call that expectation faith. But I would argue that the entire army of Israel had faith in God. They all believed in God, but you know what? They did not really believe that God would work through them. So everyone was afraid. They all believed that God is great. They all believed that God is powerful, but nobody believed that God is going to be great and powerful through them. But David, a little boy, had an expectation. He had a confidence. And that led to action. You know, how many of you believe that God heals? But how many of you have ever doubted that God's going to heal through you when you pray? I'm sure we've all been in that place where, even though we have the faith that God heals, we don't really know if God's going to heal through me. Or that God provides, but is he really going to provide for me? It's about that expectation in our faith that I believe that God wants to awaken us again. You know, a couple of months, God has been impressing on my heart about the bride. The bride of Christ, the church. That the bride must make herself ready. You know, in Revelations 19, verse 6 to 7, we read the following. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water and like a loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready.'" But what does it mean? What does it mean for the bride to get ready? What does it mean for the bride to make herself ready? You know, in the natural, when a bride prepares herself for the wedding, you know, we think about the dress and the makeup and the hair and the flowers and the venue. You know what? Most of us here this morning seems to be old enough to have been married or are married or want to be married. You know, there's such a great expectation in the heart of a bride for that great day. And there goes such a lot of dreaming and finance and effort into that day. My wife was no different. I mean, she dreamt about this day for her entire life, and she planned the very detail of it. And she, a week before the event, she first decided, no, she's going to rent a dress. Because why should we spend so much money on something that's only for once? And she went, and the week before the dress, when she went for that final fitting, because you know what? In preparation, they normally starve themselves as well, you know, to fit into the dress. And so you have to have your, like, your final fitting the week before. I never knew these things. I thought, you know, you go, you fit it out 6 months before the time, what's going to change, you know? But no, it doesn't work like that, apparently. So the week before, when she went for that final fitting, she realized, you know what? I'm only going to do this once. this is not exactly what I want. And then she went to the dressmaker and she said, can you make me a dress? I have a week before my wedding. So a week before the wedding, she decided she's going to have a dress made. And then she decided, oh, I don't like the flowers either, really. I'm going to change that also. So you know what? I know what's going on the lady's mind for that day. It's a great expectation. It's a great expectation, and there goes so much into that. You know, we men, we're not that excited about the same stuff. You know, we don't lay awake at night thinking about the flowers. We think about the event after the event. You know, different kinds of flowers. But ladies are different. They're really excited. They have an expectation. You know, constantly the Holy Spirit has been impressing on my heart, get ready. Make yourself ready. Jesus is coming. And you know, instinctively my first reaction is, Jesus is coming soon. I'm thinking about a date and a time. It must be he's coming back soon. And you know, I must be honest, I must confess, I missed this prediction of the end time, the day, of this glorious day when Jesus is coming back, when he's going to be united with his bride. Remember, there was a prediction. I don't know, what was the guy's name? I don't even know what his name was. I missed it. I must confess, we just came back from London and we were moving. We moved three times already and we were in between a house move and we had no TV and I missed the entire event. I didn't even know about it. The first time I heard about it, I saw a billboard when the date has already expired. You know, on the N2 by Somerset West, there was a billboard or something. The first time I noticed it was afterwards. And I thought, man, I missed it. And I recall vaguely before the event, somebody mentioned something about a prediction about Jesus coming back on a particular date. And immediately when I heard it, you know, that thought just went into my mind's junk mailbox. You know, I've got a junk mailbox in my mind. So I just took that statement and I threw it into that. Because you know what? Scripture is so clear about the day and the hour. It says here in Matthew 24, Jesus himself said, about that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So whenever somebody predicts the date and the hour, I know for sure it's not going to be that day. You know, Jesus went on here in Matthew 24. He said, about that day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be gathering or grinding with a handmill. The one will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So Scripture is quite clear about the fact that we do not know, but it does make very sure that we should be ready. We should be expectant. There should be something in us ready for that day. We must make ourselves ready because we do not know what and when that day will be. But you know what is so interesting and challenging about the New Testament and the early church? These guys had a real expectation about Jesus' return in their lifetime. I don't know if you've noticed that. But as you read the New Testament and Acts and the letters to the early church, these people really had an expectation that Jesus is coming back in their lifetime. And that expectation was created. It was created from the moment Christ first spoke about his return. People had an expectation in their hearts that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back and we must make ourselves ready. We must live with an expectation You know, we see in Matthew 24 again, he says, therefore, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant who the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. You know, and throughout scripture, I can go through many others, it says, keep watch. Be ready, be busy with the things of God, because you do not know. You do not know when he's coming back. And you want to be ready, you want to be awake, you want to be busy with his things when he comes. Throughout scripture, there is this expectation being created in the hearts of believers that produces a confidence and a lifestyle. Yeah, in Luke 12, verse 35 to 40, it says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken in. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And then we know Matthew 5 about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. Both, all 10 of them believed that Jesus, the master, was coming. The bridegroom was coming. All 10 of them believed, but you know what? Only 5 of them were ready. That was the whole story, the parable. So keep watch, be ready, and be busy with these things. You see, that hope and that expectation of Christ's return was central to the early church. I mean, Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, mentioned it 6 times, at least, unless I missed 1 or 2. But at least 6 times, he talks about Jesus' return, because it was so central to their mindset and their expectation. Listen here to their expectation, but also the tense, the past, the present, and the future expectation. Here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18, he says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not perish or precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of the call of God, and the dead will in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You see that expectation. You see that mindset that the early church had about Christ's return and the longing they had for that day. You know, the mindset of the early church was with an expectation. Therefore, their thoughts and their actions and their response to prayer, to giving, to hospitality was completely different to ours today. Because they had an expectation. They had an expectation that Jesus was coming back in their lifetimes. And therefore, you can understand the way they lived. Sometimes for us, when we read Acts, it's so challenging to see how they live. But you know what? If you understand their expectation, you understand the way they live. Because you know what? Your expectation will determine your lifetime, your lifestyle. Your expectation will determine your lifestyle. And they had this expectation. And what a powerful expectation to have. Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. Sometimes I would ask, you know, if you were to know that Jesus is coming back in 5 months from now, how would you live your life differently? I mean, if for some, we can't, but if for some reason you did know that Jesus is coming back in 5 months, how would you live your life differently? What would you do differently? What would you change? You know what I've realized? If I expected my mother-in-law to come and visit, maybe that's loaded. If I expected my mother to come and visit, or Fred to come and visit, or as a matter of fact, if I expected you to come and visit me for dinner tomorrow, I would clean my house. I mean, it's in a mess right now. But if I were expectant of your coming to visit me, I would clean my house. I would pack away the junk. I would pack away the clothes. I will set the table. I will prepare myself. Am I correct? And you can see the early church, they had this expectancy that Jesus is coming back in their lifetime. And they lived their way, their life in a particular way because of that expectation. You can see it in their lifestyle. So strong was this hope and this expectation in the early Christians that they greeted each other, Maranatha. You know, when we see each other, we say, hi, how's it? How are you doing? They said, hi, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. They had such a longing for Jesus to come back. They greeted each other with this expression, come, O Lord. Maranatha. But you know what? These people had something more than just an expectation. If you have an expectation, the question you ask yourself is, am I ready? But these people had something more than just an expectation. They had something every man desires to see in his bride. And I believe they had something that God desires to see in his church, in his bride. They had something more than just an expectation. They had a longing, a desire. They had a desire, a longing that God would come back. It was no longer, am I ready? It is, I'm already ready. And I can't wait for you, Lord, to come back. And it's that longing that I believe that God is waiting for in His church. It's that longing that I believe God wants to restore in us. It's more than just an expectation. It is a longing for. It's not just looking at what do I still need to do to be ready. It is, God, I'm already ready. And every day when I wake up, God, I long for you to come, God, because I'm ready. And I can't wait, Lord. I can't wait for you to come. It's that longing that I believe that God wants to awaken in us again. It's that longing that I believe that God is waiting for. I know God is longing for that day to be united with His wife, with His bride. But I don't believe God is coming back if that bride is not ready. If that bride has not gotten the dress, the makeup, the hair, the flowers. If she doesn't have a longing for that day. Who would want to marry somebody that has no expectation, has no longing for it?
You know, God is coming back for the pure and spotless bride, but I believe He's coming back for a bride that is ready. Like Revelation says, the bride has made herself ready. I believe it's not about the date or the hour, but the expectation in our hearts, the longing in our hearts that God is looking for. It's when God says, be ready, be watchful, be vigilant. It's not about the date and the hour, but the expectation in our hearts. It's been 2,000 years. It's nothing to do with the date. It's our hearts that He wants to be ready. I'm awake. I'm ready. I have enough oil. I am busy. I am looking out for God. I am longing for You to come back. I want You to come back. Are you ready for God to work in and through your life right now? Are you longing for God to work in and through your life right now? Or are you still waiting for that one day? Are there still things that you know you ought to change, but you left it for that one day? Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for that one day. God wants us to be ready for Him today. Don't wait for that one day to sort out the issues and the things that you know you still need to do and the things that God has called you to that you're waiting for that one day you will do. One day. God wants us to long for Him today. I believe God is longing for that day to return. For that great and awesome day when the bride and the bridegroom comes together. But I believe He's waiting for the bride to make herself ready. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 to 12, we read, but that day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and everything in the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day and speed its coming. Not are we looking forward to it, but speed its coming because we are longing for it, because we are ready for it, because we can't wait for it. I believe God is waiting for His church to desire, to long. He's waiting for His bride. He's waiting for that day when the bride is saying, Lord, come. We are ready, Lord. I'm just going to end here and pray. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Father, that You love us so much. Lord, that there is an excitement and a longing in Your heart to be with us. And Father, that You gave everything that we can be united with each other. That there is nothing more that stands between us. And God, You are longing for us to wake up from our slumber. To wake up from our sleep, from our state of inactivity, our loss of consciousness, and our decrease in responsiveness to the events taking place. You are waiting for us, God, to awake, God. God, forgive us, Lord, for our loss of expectation. God, that we have lost that expectation in our hearts, Lord, that we have lost that longing, God, to see You come, God, that we are no longer watching out for the signs and the times and the seasons, God, that there seems to be a disconnect between our spiritual lives and the real life. And God, instead of walking by the Spirit, God, it's like we are sleepwalking. Because we are no longer longing for that day. We're no longer expectant for your return. It's if there's a weariness and a passivity and even a laziness in us, God. Because we're no longer expectant. We're no longer longing for you, God. We don't even pray anymore, God. Our intercession is running empty. Because we've lost our expectation that you hear when we ask you and that you act when we do. God, forgive us, Lord, for this passivity and this slumbering us, God. And we're postponing the one day after the other and procrastinating, Lord, and waiting and waiting for you to do something in us, God. But you are waiting for us, I believe. You are calling us. You are saying that you have come into this world as the light of the world, but then you left this world saying that we are the light of this world. God, you came into this world and the sign that was upon you that you are the Son of God with the Spirit descending upon you and remaining upon you, God. And you have given us the same Spirit. You have said that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You said that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing that there is in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, and that we can do everything through you who strengthen us. And God, yet, Lord, we are so passive. Oh Lord, I pray that you will awake us, God, to what you have given us, that our eyes may see, God, how great and awesome your love is towards us, God, and to the great and awesome calling that you have called us, eternity with you, Lord. And what you have given us through your Son and your Spirit in us, God, that we will arise, Lord, and with an expectation and a longing, God, for your coming, Lord, that we will be ready, God, that we will do the things that you've called us to do, that we will live the lives that you've called us to live, that we will complete what you have given us, God, in our hearts, that we will not wait any longer for one day. God, I pray that you will awake us to the point, God, where we are already living the lives that you have called us to. And God, that is my desire this morning, God, that we will live the lives today that you have called us to, because it's for this day that you've called us. God, yesterday is gone. There's nothing we can do about it. And tomorrow we don't know. We don't even know what it will bring. We only have today. And God, I pray that we will no longer live in the past. We will no longer live in the future, but we will live in today. So God, I pray that you will come and create in us that expectation, that longing, as we live our lives for you. If God has been speaking to you, I really believe you need to respond this morning, and I'm just going to ask you to stand. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart about your expectation, about your longing. If that is you, I just want you to stand and say, God, here I am. God, I'm no longer going to live in the past. I'm no longer going to live in the future, God, but today, God. Today, God, I'm going to do what you've called me to do, God. Today, I'm going to live the life that you've called me to, Lord. I'm no longer going to look for my circumstances to change, for my issues to disappear, God. I'm going to take hold of what you've called me to today. And I'm going to live that, God. I'm going to live as if you are coming back today. God, I'm going to live with not just an expectation, God, but I pray that that expectation will grow in my heart to become a longing for you, God. That I'm no longer looking at what I still need to do, but I'm looking at what you have already done. And I'm looking towards that day, God, with confidence, God, that I'm living my life completely for you. If that is you, I just want you to respond before God. Just, God, say, God, here I am, God. I'm going to live for you today. no longer for tomorrow, but today, God. I'm going to give you my life today. I'm going to live it to the fullness, to everything that I have within me today. And maybe you are here this morning. Maybe you have strayed from God. Maybe you have backslidden. God is calling you again today. He says, come to me. Come to me. I long for that day that you will return to me, and that you will give me your life again, everything in it. If that is you, I just want you to stand also and say, God, here I am. God, I'm coming back to you, because I know you long for me. God, I want to respond to that longing. Father, I want to thank you for each and every life here today. God, I want to thank you, God, for your word, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for your life. God, I want to pray for each and every person that stood up this morning. God, I want to pray, Father, that you will come, Lord, and do in us what we are sometimes are incapable of doing, and that is changing, God. Lord, I pray that you will come and change our hearts, Lord, with an expectation that you will do as your word has promised. And for some of us here today, I really believe there's still somebody here. You believe in God, but you do not believe that God can do through you what he says and what you see he does through others. God wants to challenge you this morning. He wants to say, have not only faith in me, but have an expectation that I will do what I say. Jesus said that if we pray, believe what you've asked, that you have received it before you receive it, and you will have it. It's that expectation. And I really believe God wants to challenge somebody here this morning. You've lost that expectation that God can do what he says he does through your life. And that is a lie. God wants to do through you. But you must have that expectation. Father, I want to pray that you will set people free, God, from this fear. God, I pray that you will give them an expectation. And Father, I pray, Lord, for every person here today, God, I pray that we will no longer live our lives waiting for you, but that we will live our lives in you. That we'll come to that place, God, where we say, thank you, God. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for what you're going to do in this day, God. I pray, I'm excited about what you're going to do through my life, God. I pray, Lord, that my life, Lord, will be an sacrifice to you, Lord. That everything that I do and say, God, will bring glory to your name. God, I have an expectation that you will work through me, that my life will count in your kingdom, Lord. That your kingdom will come in my life and through my life, God, as I go to my workplace, Father. God, I pray that you will create in us an expectation that you will work, God. A longing that you will work through us, God. That we will be attentive to hear your voice, God. That you will open our eyes to see, God, how you see every day, Lord, the people around us, Lord. That we will be bold, God, to speak your word, God, because we are expecting that you will act. And Lord, I pray for that boldness, God. I pray, Lord, that as we go back to our homes, Lord, that we will love our children and our wives and our husbands, God. And we will spend time with you, God, because we are expecting, God, that we will pray, Lord, believing that you hear us, God, and believing that you act again according to your will. God, I pray that as we leave this place, God, we will go into the city and we will prepare it for your coming. We will prepare this town for your return. We will speak about you. We will proclaim it, God. We will announce it. We will get people excited about it. Because you are coming, God. You are coming again, Lord. And if it's not in my lifetime, it's in the lifetime to come, Lord. But I thank you, Father, that we can live with that same expectancy as the early church did, God. That our hearts would be ready. Our lives would be ready. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this. Amen. I want to say thank you so much for coming. I pray that God will create in you an expectation that will grow into a longing. And as you go from this place, that you will change this town. That you will change your homes, that you will change your workplace, that you will speak God's word, you will speak His heart, that you will be excited and expectant for what God is going to do. And that this place will not be the same. And that our homes and our hearts would be ready. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you. We trust that you enjoy this day. And that you will be ready when He comes. That you will be ready. Amen. Thank you so much. If there's any prayer needs, any prayer requests, I'm going to be here. If you want me to pray with you, you're more than welcome. I'll be here for a moment or two.